I was hoping the Lord would give me some wonderful, great message, but he gave me just a practical one, and so that's probably what you're supposed to get. I want to give the other side of the Sunday school lesson almost. I want to I'm not talking today about a faithful God, because we know that. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to think about that. But I thought if I could step on your toes a little bit, at least I would, keep you awake. So I want to talk about walking in faith. It isn't easy, but it's the right way to go. And I could use literally hundreds of illustrations from the scripture, but I couldn't use one any better than the one that we would just go as we go, and I'm going to talk to you about Abraham today. This is what I want to start out by saying. As your church begins to process the following of finding of a new pastor, you need to have a solid, sensitive faith that God will lead you in the days to come. I have a sense that there's not going to be a long in between this time. I don't know why that is. I hope it's true for you. It just seemed, the first time when I heard this process, and I was really surprised that the pastor had left here. And it just seemed to me that God is, you're in process. There's something that's going to happen here, and I don't know what it is, and I don't have any insight on that, but it seems to me that God's going to work fast, so you better all stick right with it, because it's going to move, I think. No word from God on that. I didn't get that down from heaven. It's just what seems to me. Our Bible has many people of God that walked and lived their lives by faith. I have to read this nowadays. See, I'm 5 years older than I was when I was here before. So I have to stick to my notes a little closer, and nobody knows what's going to happen. So as we go today, we'll take one of those great examples in Hebrews chapter 11 and check his life by faith. And as we find him in the Old Testament, I'm not going to use the New Testament. I'm going to go where it started. So we'll take the Bible and we'll turn to chapter 17 of Genesis today. And we're going to work with Abraham, and just, it's a reminder sermon. I'm not going to give any news items today, but it's the message the Lord laid on my heart, and it's one I think you should think through in this in-between time. That's what I asked the Lord for. Chapter 17, verse 1. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and talked to God with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant, and God talked to him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name is going to be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make the nations of you, and kings shall come to you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. I'll also give to you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Some of those promises have been fulfilled, and some of them haven't, and they all will be someday. In the meantime, let's look and see here what God says to Abraham. We see in this passage, as we've just read it, I am Almighty God, walk for me before me blameless. Verse 2, I'll make a covenant and multiply you exceedingly, and we know the rest of the story. Sarah has that miracle child of old age, and the Jewish nation is begun. However, Abraham had to live a life of faith as it was being carried out every day. And today, we who are people of faith follow in his train. Our name may not be Abraham, and we don't have the promises that Abraham had because we aren't him. But many promises of God are for us as people of God. I was so impressed with the Sunday school lesson this morning that was tied into exact instructions and exact promises of God. This book is for us. It is for you to understand. It is for you to appreciate. It is for you to follow. If you do that, you're walking in the right path. If we walk in a faithful path, we can always depend on a faithful God. As most of you know, that is easier said than done. At least it has been true in my life. But today, as we live a life of faith, we know that He has and He will lead us as we follow His will in our life. So I got all that's just talk here for the first point. That's introduction. And as you know, a simple preacher has simple points. So the point number one is a sketch of his walk. Once again, I'm not trying to give you something brand new. I'm trying to get you to catch on and to remember and to hang a hold and get a hold of what you know and to go forward in this church with that knowledge that you have and with that faith you have. So we have a sketch of his walk here. We begin where God begins. I'm not going to go all through the scriptures and read them to you. Some I will read and some I will just kind of remind you of. Because you know, you are Bible people. This is a Bible church, right? So you guys know the Bible. No sweat. Okay, we got it. So let's recall, God told Abraham to get out of his country and he would take him to the one that he would show him. And he would make his name great. He had promised that to Abraham. We know also that in Abraham's life, it was not all perfect as far as Abraham was concerned. He had some struggles. He had some highlights, many highlights. And we preachers love to go on those highlights. And that's wonderful because, I mean, God put up some wonderful people for us to follow. And we follow him. But I want you to recognize that God's man there was not perfect all the way through any more than we are. And he had some struggles just like you and I do. We see him obeying and setting up altars to God. We see him, we see him messing up in Egypt when he calls his wife, his sister. You know the details of that. We also see great faith and great blessings. Related to that first situation in chapter 15, Abraham's told not to be afraid. And when he's told not to be afraid, God calls himself in a special name. He calls himself in that chapter 15, which we will not be able to go through today. He says, I am your shield and your reward. And that's what we need when we are in struggles, when we are in great need. We need a God who comes to us and shields us from the evil and gives us the direction as we need to go in life. We need to take those principles. We need to take them and go forward with God in his word, in his ways. His faith is a testimony. He says, I put down here, it's not Eliezer. He had to check that out. He's going to be one from you remember that. You remember Abraham's story. One from your own body, he shall be the heir. Your descendants shall be numbered as the stars in heaven and the sand and the sea. All this was great promises to Abraham. Then that great response in chapter 15, verse 6. If I were going to preach a message on this, it would be a long and detailed and careful message. I just throw it out to you today. We're going to pass through here. And he believed in the Lord, chapter 15, verse 6 of Abraham's life there. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We're tempted to get theological here. Every time I read that, it's the most wonderful passage. We're tempted to say, we better jump to chapter 4 in Romans and explain justified by faith, because that's what that really sets up there. And that's what we talk about when we go to talk about justification. But we're looking today not on the theology of getting saved by faith, being justified by faith, but we're talking today what I think I want you to leave out those doors remembering. It's the walk of faith that needs to be carried out. I wish I had a wonderful, great story to tell you that would just be wonderful, but I don't. So I'm just going to give you the admonition. Once again, you'll hear this several times in this rather humble sermon here. What the Lord wants you to do is to take the faith that you got from Him in the first place and that you believed in Him in the second place, and the third place, just carry it out the rest of your life. That's the main thing. Are you people of Grove, people that are walking by faith? We sing it. We talk about it. We lift it up. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Is that the way you operate? Well, I'm not supposed to say all that yet. Supposed to say that at the end. Here we go. Let me see if I'm somewhere. I check my notes every once in a while, see if I'm actually anywhere near where I'm supposed to be. I put down here, today as we look at Abraham's journey of faith, I remind us his life before God was not perfect. There were doubts in it, and there were fears in it. So when I talk to you about this great, wonderful thing that we just really believe, walking by faith, I want to be just as honest with you as I am myself. It ain't easy. At least it's never been for me. It's easier to stand up here behind the pulpit and tell you guys to do it than to practice it tomorrow. I'm a worrywart. It's all my father's fault. He was the same thing as I am. So I can't help it. Well, really? The first thing I do about everything, I lost my billfold yesterday. I haven't done that. Well, I don't remember ever doing it. You know what I did? I said, praise the Lord, by faith I... It didn't work that way. So I wonder what in the world I did with my billfold. I wonder. Well, I went with another guy in another car, and I called him up right away. But I wonder where my faith was in between. Because faith is supposed to work for little dicky things like that, huh? So I'm preaching to myself this morning, and I'm just preaching to you too. We have to re-up all the time with this faith walk, just like Abraham, just like Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all those nice guys that we know all about. We need to practice this walk of faith. That's what I put down here. I did this ahead of time almost. I'm going to hit the pause button here. This path of faith is the story of every Christian's life. We don't always understand what's going on in our life. We have questions in our life. Like this, I don't know. I put some old stories in here, but they're the kind of stories, they're not stories, they're accounts. They're kind of accounts that you all can relate to. An old pastor gets to preach to a lot of people and talk to a lot of people. They're just on their way to heaven. Pretty close. And I remember a lady in our church saying to me over and over again, Pastor, I'm ready to go to heaven. I can't figure out why the Lord doesn't take me. Some of you have had those thoughts. And I got news for you. You're not going to find the answer. Because the Lord will tell you when He's going to take you. And on the way up, He'll say, now's the time. You're supposed to have faith that the Lord has you where He wants you, when He wants you, how He wants you, until He takes you. That's where it's supposed to work. This last year, I'm still in our old church, in my old church that I was there since 1969. And they let me preach on Wednesday night. And as I'm in that old church, Because the other pastor has some eye problems, I quite often get to go visit people. And one of my best friends in the church, he came there, was a leader there, went to the hospital, and he had some heart trouble. And we had another guy in the church saying, no sweats, easy, just like a piece of cake. You just go there, you get this heart fixed, and you go home. Well, George never went home. And he spent 2 months wondering why the Lord took him so quick. I didn't have the answer for that either. See, this is real stuff, this faith on the way through. This is real. Well, George, things didn't go well there. I know I'm not going to give you all the details. But this wasn't an old man. But at that time, God pressed him into that area. He spent 2 months dying in the hospital and never got out. But the greatest joy I have sometimes, he had a smile like nobody else ever had. Are you ready, George, to go see the Lord? Yeah, he lived by faith. And he died by faith. And he went to heaven where you don't have to have any more faith. It's all there. You don't have to ask any more questions there. See, it does. I don't know why I got off on that. I better quit that. I got written down what I'm supposed to say. That's why I go on my notes every once in a while. We know, just like people of faith, down through the centuries, the just shall live by, not just get saved by faith. You got that? If you got that, you can just get one. That's my first point, actually. We have a journey of faith, and we need to live it out. In Grove Bible Church, which is you people, we need to put this in view at this time. I just have a little thing to say to you. You need to get off the question not why and get onto the question what. Why did all this happen to us? Now, none of you spiritual people ever had that question. But some of you unspiritual people have done that, right? Come on, be honest. So we get off the question why and say, now, Lord, what should we do? That's where you're supposed to be. That's what I'm encouraging you to do if you're going to continue to live by faith at Grove Bible Church. Point number two. My points go, they get shorter, really. Number two, the challenge of his faith. We walk through this, you know it. We'll walk through it here. If you go back to chapter 17, where we started out there, you know it in chapter 1, or verse 1, note God's revelation to Abraham here. It isn't I'm your shield. When God tells Abraham he's supposed to go forward, he gives all this promises to him. He says, I am Almighty God. This is the first time he uses that description. Literally, El Shaddai, the all-powerful, all-sufficient one. That is, the God who can do anything and meet any need. That's what he gives to Abraham when he talks to him about the promises of all the land and the people and all of that. I put down here, if you went back to chapter 15, when he was his shield and great reward, that was what Abraham needed when he was the warrior that needed to do some work and some going forward with the Lord, the strength of the Lord. But God provides for us in the ways that we need and what we need. Here in chapter 17, this Almighty God, I run by that just a little bit more. This Almighty God is the one who makes covenant with Abraham, verse 2. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham, and we know all about that in verse 5. He makes promises of possession of the land of Canaan in verse 8. And we've been thinking through and carrying out. We see God at work from all these centuries down through, ever since Abraham, on that promise. In verse 10, he gives him the sign of circumcision, which every Jew is identified. And then he says, your wife is going to, by the way, Eliezer is not the one. Your wife, Sarah, is going to have the child. It's going to be the one that's going to carry out your generations. And it's going to be from Sarah. I have Swindoll. This is the way Swindoll figured. That's the way he figured it out. I like to see things like this. Their conversation with Abraham when he was told, oh, by the way, Sarah's going to have a child, could have gone like this, says Swindoll. Abraham, what are you going to do, God? God, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham, okay, God, how are we going to do that? God, I'm going to do it through Sarah. Abraham, unbelievable. When are you going to do it? Oh, about this time next year. Abraham, funniest thing I ever heard. I like that. God does answer all three questions of Abraham there, and I repeat it as the scripture says. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I will lead him. I can't read my printing down here. I have heard you. I will bless him. I will make him fruitful and will increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. And when he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. That's what Abraham was promised. Now, I'm not giving you news items, but I'm reminding you of the values of this walking by faith. That's my simple little message that the Lord seems to have laid on my heart today, is just to remind you that we walk daily and we walk every day by faith. And God provides us many things as we walk with him by that same faith. He will do that, and he has done it in your personal lives. I think that's all number two is. Your fortune. I got two pages done. Number three. I don't know. Oh yeah, we're doing good. Now you know what the third point's going to be, don't you? The response of faith. What did Abraham do when God made him those great promises that were beyond anything he could have conceived of or even thought through? Well, I do want to read that one. Let's go down where we started and drop into 17 and verse 3. This would be a good thing for you and I to do. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. Now, Abraham did when he got the promises of God, and got especially that promise from God, is... I wonder what we do if God talked to us personally. I think I'd do what Abraham did. I'd get just about as low as I could get. God comes and says, Abraham, old buddy, old friend. And Abraham falls down on his face. And that's where Abraham got educated spiritually. When you get down on your face before the Lord and you look up and God is everything to you, then you can go forward. Then you can live the life that we talk about. The life, well, I got wandering here. Then you can live the life that God wants you to do and that God has told us all to live. He falls on his face and humbles himself before God. I'll spend 2 minutes on this and I'll get off it. I read the life of Jimmy Carter. There's a new book about him. This guy describes himself as a progressive Christian. You got the story? Okay, that's him. That's his mentality. And what I found out there is that the people of faith way back, and we were part of it, that were going to get this Jimmy Carter out and get God's man in. Remember those days? Remember all that when we were the great, what was we called? Jerry Falwell called us something. I can't remember the words, but you remember that. We were going to solve all the problems there. We were going to politically get it going right. Well, I'm not against politics. Go as hard and fast as you want. But I would advise you to live by faith in God. There's nobody ever been a president I know of that did it the way they're supposed to. And I'm off of that subject. Hallelujah. Back on the right subject again. I got one more quote here. Listen carefully, this quote. I am giving a quote related to the response that Abraham gave when God told him what he was going to do. This is what, I got this from somebody important. I have it written down. I'll tell you after a while who it is. Oh, Eugene Peterson. We assume that if something can be done at all, listen carefully to this little quote. We assume that if something can be done at all, it can be done quickly and efficiently. Our attention spans have been conditioned by 30-second commercials. There is little attention for the patient acquisition of the virtue, little inclination to sign up for the long apprenticeship in which earlier generations of Christians called holiness. Sure, you have to make a living, be involved with people, but the answer is neither a rocking chair or a schedule that causes you to drop exhausted every night. What we need to do is to stop and listen to God. Otherwise, you will fail to hear his promises. Listen humbly, and then you will hear what God has to say. Did you hear that? The word that got me to quote this was apprenticeship. Because we had several, in our church, we had several people that were plumbers, a lot of them, and electricians. And that, in our church, those people were apprenticed for many years. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You didn't walk into the union and say, I'm a plumber. They say, oh yeah, what can you do? And 3 or 4 years from now, we'll let you be one of those. Apprenticeship took a long, careful time to instruct and make you able to do things. I would like all of you to go out of this building thinking this. I got it written down here, so I got to pray it just exactly the right. I think all of us need to recognize that we are apprentice saints. We are being prepared and all the time growing better and more proficient in being, well, what I preached on to start with. You ought to be a person that's walking by faith closer to God, better for God, and stronger for God than you were a year ago or 5 years ago. See, it ought to be a progressive thing. That's what it seems to me, that's what that teaches. I got three things here under number two. Number three is the response of faith. He fell on his faith humbly. Number two, or B, look at our passage again. Oh, let's do that. Let's look at that 17. I'll quickly do it. There went all my notes from my Bible. I better take those back with me. I got the pastor's thing in there. All right. Here we go, chapter 17. I want you to notice, maybe you got it marked. Look at the I wills there. Look at the I wills that God says. When Abraham was 99 years old, you got 17:1. I am on, and I, verse, here we go, verse 2. I will make my covenant between you and the Lord. Look at verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Look at verse, that part of that last verse. I will make nations of you. Verse 7. I will establish my covenant between you and be your God. I will be their God. Maybe I missed it. But all of it is, I will, you follow. You got that? That's how you walk by faith. You follow God's will. He wills, you follow. Pretty simple. Pretty simple, but it's hard to practice, isn't it? That's why I put my message down as a title, is that the life of faith isn't easy, but it's the right way to go. Number three, that blameless walk that he told him, that we talk about in verse 1, I repeat here, that blameless walk was not perfect for him, and it's not perfect for you. God asks you to do it, but he knows that you're not able, so he has to re-up like you do every day. What is called for is a single-hearted, wholly devoted integrity before God. Abraham's problems are often ours. In chapter 16, Abraham's the actor, and he's asking God to help him. In chapter 17, God is the actor, and Abraham is the humble worshiper. He's made the transfer. The question is, are you walking by faith in total dependence on God? Or to put it like Micah does, and I'm sure your pastor, I know Pastor Bob, I've heard him repeat this. In 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly before your God? You do that by faith. So I have a question at the end. How are you doing? How will you do in your walk with Him and in your situation? Because that's where we walk. It's where we are. One more thing. Any honest preacher has to say, and I know the congregation I'm preaching to, I expect that you're saved, but I don't know for sure if you all are. So I put down here one more thing. You must know Him before you can follow Him. But you can follow Him, and you can do it by faith, and it's a wonderful trip. So live for the Lord on your way home by faith. When you get home, the Lord will say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. May the Lord bless you. That's the end of the sermon. I'll say amen. Somebody's going to do something else, we'll go home. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word that does not only just tell us to have faith, it has a whole book full of people that show us how to do it. We thank you for Abraham, and we thank you for what he teaches us. Help us to live our life out by faith before you. I pray in Jesus' name.